Welcome to Optimize Your Retirement, presented by Higher Ground Financial Group. This is the radio show and podcast dedicated to helping you navigate common financial challenges on the path to a successful retirement. Tax attorney Daniel Rasby and his father Raz have a passion for guiding people towards financial freedom by helping individuals understand and reduce the three biggest retirement killers: risk, fees, and taxes. Now, let's begin. Here are your hosts, Daniel and Raz.
Welcome back to our show. I'm Daniel Rasby, a tax attorney, and I'm here with my father, Imran Rasby.
And my qualifications are I'm his dad. I've been in the financial service business about 30 years, and we work well together. We love working together because we like helping people in things that they don't normally get help other places.
So our company is called Higher Ground Financial Group and Higher Ground Legal, and that's important. We have attorneys and retirement income planners that work together and to reduce the three biggest killers in retirement, which are risk, fees, and taxes. So our website is that, riskfeestaxes.com, the three killers in retirement. So we talk a lot about, on this program, about legacy. If you have enough saved for retirement, or you think you have enough, or you're on track to have enough, and you don't want to spend it all, you want to still leave some to your kids, what is the most efficient way to leave money for the next generation? Hands down, there's really nothing that comes close to it. It's life insurance, right?
Yeah. Then there's two basic main ways to leave tax-free money. It's Roth and life insurance. Now, Roth, you're hoping that it'll grow, right? Because you have and it does. The market does grow over a long period of time. You just hope it doesn't crash right before you die. Yeah, that kind of stuff. But with the Roth, you have 10 years that your kids can inherit the money and let it grow tax-free and then be able to use it. So that's kind of nice. But before Roth was available, there was something else that was there. It was called life insurance. And, life insurance got a bad name because, there's a lot of bad characters out there. But life insurance has a specific benefit that really you can't get from anybody else. It has a known death benefit. So if you put in $100,000, you're going to have $1 million or $1.5 million, whatever it may be, as a guaranteed death benefit. I mean, that's a guaranteed return, right? So when you die, that you put a couple hundred thousand in and you've got a guaranteed amount, where in the any kind of investment, you don't have that.
Exactly. And so life insurance is still the most efficient way to transfer wealth to the next generation. It's not the only tax-free way, because obviously stocks get a stepped-up basis and there's no tax at death. Roth will be tax-free, and they can accumulate for 10 years after you die, sort of.
Right.
And here's the catch on the Roth. A lot of people are aware there's a 10-year rule for IRAs. You have to take required distributions 10 years after you die, and then the kids get the remaining amount in the last year. With Roth, there actually is also a required distribution for Roth.
Yep.
They'll tell you there's no required distribution for Roth while you're alive. There is a required distribution for Roth after you die, and they calculate it by pretending it's an IRA for the purpose of calculating the R&D. And then, of course, there's no tax on it, but it does make them start spending the money early. They can't leave the entire amount for 10 years to grow.
Yeah, they want to get it out back at the economy and back earning taxes for the government, right?
And a lot of people, that call us or that listen to the program, they're at retirement age already. They're 60 years old, 65 years old, 70 years old. And they ask us, they say, well, you talk about life insurance as an efficient way.
But I'm too old. Wealth. I'm too old.
It's expensive. Life insurance is super expensive. And it can be, okay? But if it's set up right, you're never going to put more money in than what the death benefit is. The death benefit is always a lot more than your contributions. So there is a return you're getting on that. And yes, it might not be as amazing as if you had bought it 10 years ago, but it's still a really good deal in most cases if you're healthy enough to qualify.
And I'm giving you an example. I mean, if you're whatever age, 65, 68, 70 years old, and you buy life insurance, it's going to be expensive, right? It's going to be a lot of money towards it. But if you look at the internal return on the death benefit, if you go to life expectancy, and if you die earlier, it's even higher. But let's say you go to life expectancy, it's still going to be 9 to 12 or 14% return on that money.
Again,
every year.
And again, this is not specific for you. This is a general guideline. It depends on the policy, depends on the insurance company, the age, the person, how old you are, how healthy you are, when you do this and how you set it up, because there are many different ways to structure a policy. Some of them have much higher return on the death benefit, but almost no cash value. Some of them have much more cash access during your lifetime and then lower death benefit. But
It's pretty complicated. You got to have somebody that understands, because it's not just about the illustration. Because the illustration can be moved around. You can have different interest rates. You can do a lot of funny things with illustrations. And that's one reason I love working with Daniel. He's a tax attorney, so he likes the fine print. He likes to find out what the internal costs are, what the anybody else says. Let's stress test it in a bad environment. Because if it survives a bad environment, then if it's good, that's going to be even better.
So if you've looked at life insurance illustrations and projections before, you've seen some really rosy projections. And especially if you look at indexed life, I might be interested to know that whatever the agent is showing you, if they're showing you the maximum that they're allowed to show you under the regulations, that only has a 50% chance of happening based on the historical numbers and what the caps are on those products.
So let me put it a different way. Let's say on Higher Ground Financial Group Airlines, and I get on the mic and say, well, thank you for flying with HGFG. We're going to have a nice, easy flight all the way down to Florida, but we only have 50% chance of landing. Would you still be on that plane? No.
So you want to look at stress tests, right? Even if you look at just a little bit below what those projections are, maybe 1%, 1.5% below, now all of a sudden those chances of success are approaching 90, 95%. So it's much more advantageous to look at stress tests instead of just rosy projections of here's what it could do. And look at the guarantees. What is a minimum guarantee? Because often these policies do have a minimum guarantee, but not all life insurance policies do. So
it's all give and take. I mean, you get something here, you give up something here, and you got to know what is important to you. What are you trying to build? Are you trying to build just for legacy or legacy? And in case you need extra cash, that's tax-free. There's different options and there's different companies, different variables, different things in there. And I would kind of stay away from variable universal life. Variable universal life, you still have all the risk of the market and really none of the real guarantees. So it kind of complicates it and makes it much more expensive. And
you know, lose money often.
Yeah, you can lose money and it's so expensive. I don't know that it's worth it. So there's you know, two basic types of life insurance, whole life insurance and universal life insurance. Now, variable is still variable universal, but it's variable meaning it's in the market, you can lose money. So it's fixed universal life, I think, is a better option. Whole life is very rare now. There's only a couple companies that have that. And there's also a company that has indexed whole life, which means instead of having a dividend based on company production, it actually gets a credit to it based on what the market does. But it's still whole life with all the guarantees.
And there are really good options in all those categories, and there's pros and cons for each. So you can go to our website, riskfeestaxes.com, and we can sort it out for you. We have appointments with hundreds of different companies, whatever is in the client's best interest, because we are fiduciaries. We only act in our client's best interest. What is the optimal way to structure that legacy plan? Now, let's get into a little bit of a different topic now. It's sort of related, but what if you have a life insurance? How is that taxed when you die? Well, it's tax-free, right? Well, sort of. Life insurance is tax-free. It's always income tax-free. It's always capital gains tax-free at death. However, if you have a large enough estate, then it could be estate taxable. That means it's subject to your estate and you pay a tax on that. And it depends on what state you live in. Some states have an estate tax. Maryland, for example, has a tax on anything over $5 million is taxed at 16%. And then in the federal realm, that applies to everybody in America, you know, $30 million, $15 million per person is the, if you're married, $30 million, that's a high limit. But anything above that is taxed at 40%. So it's a really big number. And if you have a large life insurance policy, you have a large amount of investments and you're growing your investments faster than what you're spending. And many of our clients are like that. They have today, they're 60, 62 years old. They've already got $5, $6, $7, $8 million invested. And they're only spending, you know, a couple $100,000 a year on that. Their investments are growing much faster than what they're spending. They are likely to have an estate tax problem, because if you use even a reasonable long-term return estimate, you're going to have $30, $40 million of taxable estate when you pass away. So if you buy life insurance, well, that's great, but that just adds to your estate unless it's inside of an irrevocable trust. So that's really cool. Irrevocable trusts allow you to put the premiums in there. And if there are certain limits and exclusions and how much you can fund them, but you can fund that policy and now that's outside of your estate. So there's no tax on your estate.
Yep. And the thing is, You have to really plan for legacy, because yes, you do have a $15 million per person, so it's $30 million exclusion. But if you don't do estate planning, then that $30 million becomes $15 million as soon as the first spouse dies. Nobody plans to die at the same time as a spouse. And it rarely happens if it happens, right? So you got to have legacy planning in place, especially if you have that kind of money. I mean, you don't want your life insurance to push you over that limit. And you thought, hey, they're going to get all this, you know, $10 million all tax free, but 40% going to the government, that's not fair. And so and the other option also, the thing is, you can either pay for yourself, or if you have enough stocks, you can have somebody else pay for your life insurance. That's a cool thing.
Yes. And you should talk to us. This is especially true for anybody that's got over 10 million of assets. But even if you don't have 10 million, you might qualify. It really depends on the situation. There's some other factors as well. But if you have a decent amount that's already saved, you can actually get a bank to fund a lot of that premium. And there's two reasons that's helpful. Number one, you don't have to sell your own stocks and pay taxes on it to buy the life insurance.
Right.
So your stocks keep growing. But number two, you don't have to over-contribute to this irrevocable trust because you're limited how much you can put on.
Right.
So when you contribute to an irrevocable trust, you are using up some of your gift limits, and that counts towards estate tax. So you don't want to put too much in there. But maybe for the size estate you have, and you want $10 million of death benefit or $12 million of death benefit, you might have to be putting $400,000 or $500,000 or $600,000 a year into that for a number of years. That's going to use up your exclusion very quickly. And so if you get a bank to put in most of that money, yes, there's an interest cost, but the interest can be paid by the death benefit. So if the numbers work right, you can have plenty of death benefit, but you pay very little out of pocket for it. And that concept is called premium financing.
And one of the things I want to bring up to you, why would a bank invest in life insurance? Well, because they know the numbers. Life insurance works. So when you've been told life insurance is a bad investment, it's a waste of your money, it's doing all this stuff, why are banks doing it? You know, banks are the richest things in the world, right? So if they're doing it, they know that this works. So don't be fed the lies by other people saying, hey, life insurance is a waste of money. It can be, but if it's done properly, it can be amazing. And that's why banks are participating in it.
So it is really, really beneficial to think about life insurance, think about certain types of trusts, to plan for legacy. And it depends on your situation. For some people, it's not a good fit.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that whatever we're showing you is actually optimal for your situation. But it all comes back to those original three killers: risk, fees, and taxes. You want the fees and the costs to be as low as possible. And that matters. There's different life insurance policies, and many of them are more expensive than others internally.
Right.
So you want one with low costs. You want one. You want a plan in general that reduces risk. And one of the biggest risks, especially for wealthier families, is this estate tax. The life insurance can handle that risk, and it can handle that with a certainty of a death benefit rather than just a hope and a dream that your investment somehow outpaces those taxes.
And it's even better if somebody else is paying for it. And only really if you have about at least $10 million in stocks, a portfolio that where you can convince a bank to pay for it.
Yeah, but go to our website. Again, even if that's not you, if you have less assets than that, there are a lot of other good options. Go to our website, riskfeestaxes.com, and we'll talk to you then. It's always a video call, riskfeestaxes.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Optimize Your Retirement. To take the next step and receive personalized guidance tailored to your specific financial situation, schedule your free call with Daniel and Raz from Higher Ground Financial Group. Visit riskfeestaxes.com. That's riskfeestaxes.com. Or call 888-263-HGFG. That's 888-263-4434. We look forward to hearing from you.
Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy. Higher Ground Financial Group does not provide securities investment advice. No part of this program should be construed as advice to buy, hold, or sell any security. Any mention of securities is incidental and for educational purposes only. Legal and tax advice provided through Higher Ground Legal Incorporated, pursuant to signed retainer agreement, if applicable.